Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa Al Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, you will discuss issues, relevant questions, and other fields regarding the Islamic upbringing of children, and we would like to stress that the answers that we provide in this program are all based upon the narrations of the household of the Prophet and, of course, of the Prophet himself, and upon the Holy Quran, supplemented with scientific research. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend, Sheikh Ali Himani, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for joining us.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's my pleasure to be here in your studio.
Last time, dear Sheikh, we spoke about how important it is that we watch what we wear in front of our children and in front of our siblings as well. We are very, apparently, and from the look at Islam, we are very detailed and minute about such manners, like even the appearance and the clothes and the makeup that you put on your face, even in front of your family, can have an effect and does have an effect. So building on this, what about then teenagers or children from opposite genders or even from the same gender sleeping in the same room? Could there also be some risk factor involved in this? What does Islam say about this, dear Sheikh?
It's a very good question that you brought up. You know, I know that in the Western culture, they start giving a separate room right from childhood, you know, right from the baby when it's 6 months old. You put them in a separate room and you try and train them to sleep separately away from parents, right? That's one part of it. But then some people do not realize the mistake here, that they start putting all the siblings together in one room and mix them up, the brothers and sisters and all that stuff. That's okay up till a certain age, probably 5, 6, or maximum
before
7.
Before they reach the stage, because they start to differentiate.
Right. On the other hand, the girls, they reach puberty and maturity much faster and much earlier than the boys. So for them, 7 years is the max. You should not allow girls to sleep in the same room with the other boys after 7 years old. You should give them a separate room.
And that's not to mention, we also have some parents who have their children sleep with them in bed with them.
And that's okay up till a certain age, you know, probably up to 2 years, especially because the child is still, you know, feeding from the mother, breastfeeding. That's okay up to 2 years. But then slowly, once you start weaning the child out, then you have to also train the child to start sleeping separately in a different room.
Right.
And then particularly the boys and girls, right, don't let them sleep in the same room. Not just that, I would rather say that don't give a separate room to your child, particularly when he's closing up on puberty. Don't say that, okay, here's your room. No, you say, this is where you sleep, but that's not your room. That's a common room. The door's going to be open. The father or the mother can walk in anytime. It's not something proprietary that you'd say, this is my room, my privacy, my...
isn't privacy a fundamental human right?
Privacy of...
that's what they say, at least.
Oh, no. We can counter-argue all those things. Privacy that does not lead to haram, that's okay. But if you're talking about privacy that is going to lead to haram or that's going to lead them into doing inappropriate acts, then that privacy is not worthy of providing or giving.
On that note, let's go ahead and take a break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Now, just before we went on a break, we said that we should not provide them privacy that leads them to sins.
Correct.
To sinning. We should provide them with privacy that does not lead them to that.
Correct.
So this, in essence, not providing them a room for themselves Correct. Is a preemptive measure, right?
Correct. See, look, giving them a room where they can go and study so that there's no disturbance for the studying, right. Giving them a room where they can go and, you know, offer prayers, offer salat.
Even rest, perhaps.
Or rest.
Right.
Or, take a break or sleep. That's okay. But don't give them a room where they have a sense of ownership and they tell the parents, you can't come in without my permission. Are you getting my point? Giving them a room to relax, sleep, study, that's okay. But giving them a room and calling it their room where the child can walk in, close the door and say, you have no permission to come into my room. This is where the problem starts. This is where you're telling them that I'm giving you a secluded space where you can resort to at times where I don't have access to it. So now you're free. You can do anything you want. And now the parent doesn't know what the child is doing. What is he browsing?
Especially in our age with phone devices,
exactly.
Laptops.
What is he browsing? What is he watching?
Right.
What is he listening? Who is he talking to? What is he
all
talking
of this corruption.
About? All corruption and all possible areas and grounds for sins. So we don't give them a separate room with ownership. We say, your room? No. We say, a room where you will sleep, a room where you will study, and
right.
I can be there. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I remember my parents when I was growing up. I didn't have a separate room until I was like 18, 19. And whenever I wanted perhaps to play on the PC or to have an activity, it was always in the living room. Like I was forced to do it in the living room.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. This is the most important part, particularly this age.
Yeah.
Particularly this age. Like I mentioned earlier, that they are focused upon themselves. They are going through physical changes and hormonal changes. And there are times when they want to explore
right.
about themselves, even physically, right?
Right?
So when they're physically exploring themselves, some of the scholars, the psychologists, Islamic psychologists suggest that even going for taking a bath, right? Keep track of it. If your child is taking longer than normal,
right.
yeah, then be worried, you know, follow up on him, like, what's wrong, what's happening, I need
right.
to go to washroom, or I need to take a bath, come out quick, follow up upon him and create that urgency that come out now,
create
don't take too much time.
A sense in them that they're being washed.
Washed, exactly.
Right.
And that way you can keep track and keep control, keep a tab
right.
on them to avoid them indulging into sins.
And just a side note, because when we say hormonal changes, some people, they might not understand it. They think, okay, the teenager, he sat down one day and he decided to sin. That's not how it works.
No, it doesn't work that way.
That's not how it works. So you shouldn't blame your teenagers for having these thoughts and sometimes even falling into these sins.
Correct.
Because there's a shared responsibility.
Correct.
The parents, they have a huge responsibility.
Correct. So let me build upon what we've been discussing so far. We have a tradition, we have a hadith in place which says that shaitan is closer to those who are alone, those who are left alone. Particularly in this age, can you imagine the risk that we're running? A child who's going through hormonal changes.
And who's seen things in his environment.
Exactly.
He has been stimulated already.
All the time from
right.
all this, teenage friends he has in the
yes.
school. And they're doing
and
makeup and acting.
How much they care about their appearance.
Exactly.
Right.
And then he's going through the sexual desires. He's trying to control them.
And
then
he has, you give him privacy. You give him a closed room.
And,
you give him a phone.
And the access to internet. What
free
else?
Internet.
What else do you want? This is absolutely like, you know, preparing the grounds for him to prepare himself
like
to indulge.
It's you're telling him indirectly to do your stuff.
You're telling him, you know, you're free to do whatever
right.
you want.
Let's go ahead
That's,
and take,
I think you have to be really careful
right.
here.
Sorry for interrupting you. Let's just go ahead and take a quick break.
Ya muqiya al-khayrat, ya muqiya al-khayrat.
regarding the sixth verse of Surah At-Tahrim, the 66th Surah of the Holy Quran, that is, O you who have faith, save yourselves and your families from a fire. Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam said, save your families from fire by enjoining them to do good and forbidding them from evil deeds.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Now, just before we went on a break, we were talking about how we should not allow our children, do not give them the opportunity to fall into temptation.
Correct.
In essence.
Correct.
Right.
And I heard one of the scholars suggesting this idea when you mentioned about the mobile phones and laptops. I heard one of the scholars suggesting this idea, and you yourself mentioned about your family, that make the screen large, right? So if your son wants to browse internet, you say, okay, here's the smart TV.
Right.
Here's your keyboard.
Come on.
Okay, browse internet, all right? And right. Then he's going to be like, whoa, I want privacy. Why do you want privacy if you're going to browse safe content? Why do you need privacy?
Why?
Right? So give him a larger screen. You tell him, you know, why 8 inches or 13 inches? Let me give you 65 inches.
Yeah,
right?
What's the problem? I love you so much, I give you more.
More, right? So right here in the main hall, the living room, here's your 65-inch TV, here's your keyboard, free internet
and
connection.
And I care so much about you, I'm going to sit beside you and watch.
Exactly. So browse as much as you want.
Right.
If you have any questions and doubts, I'm right next to you.
In essence, you're actually talking to Iblis. You're not talking to your child because your child has been taken by his temptations.
And this is where, you know, again, Iblis is impacting his thoughts and you're countering Iblis and his argument.
That's why, in essence, you're talking to him. You're not talking to your child.
So you're not restricting the grounds for guna for your child, but you're restricting access of Iblis to your child.
And branching off of this subject, dear Sheikh, it is because some children or some parents, they say that we're very proud of our children because they read books, they are book readers, and that's much better than using their phone and television. Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Because the books are the same thing, but just in text version.
Correct. But again, much better than actually watching the whole thing right in front of your eyes. But again, there are good books, right? So the parents have to be careful and aware of the kind of books the kids are choosing to read.
The important thing is supervision. Yeah. Even if it's book, a telephone, a laptop, whatever it is, supervision.
Yeah, supervision. Because, you know, for example, maths, physics, chemistry, there's little probability of, you know, the
falling
sexual
element.
Falling
to sin. You're not going to look at an equation and just...
sexually motivated or something like that.
Unless there's something wrong with you, but yeah.
On the other hand, there are other subjects which can lead to those thoughts that should be monitored.
Like, for example, we have a
English literature, you know.
Exactly. Or all of these drama shows we have, or films and series about love and love interests and romance.
So, some places, you can be all lenient and give freedom when it comes to certain subjects, but certain subjects, certain things. So, the fundamental question was separate room. Do we give them separate room? Do we allow boys and girls to sleep in the same room? No. Do we give them separate room?
With the explanation
that we've already discussed.
Yes.
And monitor their usage of their TV, laptop, mobile phones, textbooks, books that they read, so on and so forth.
And with that in mind, we will have to end today's program because we are out of time. I thank you for contributing to this discussion and also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any suggestions, feedback or some comments, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website, parstoday.com. You can also find us on various social media websites, such as on Twitter and Instagram, under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.